Dave Moore on Today FM.
Hello and welcome to Dave Moore, the podcast, starring Dave Moore, Emer Shannon, Colin Minogue, and not Maria Devereaux, who's not. Oh, you're sneezing or yawning?
Yawning, sorry.
Yawning, okay, I wasn't sure.
You Emer know what? We're the only ones who are taking this podcast seriously. We're always here, Dave.
What, you think that Emer's only a part-timer?
The others are blow-ins.
Hey!
There was one time, I think there's twice.
I
missed
the last week for very sad reasons.
Okay, fair. Okay, but remember that time? I remember there was another time myself and Dave had to talk about babies.
Yes, that's true.
Do you remember that?
Which I'm very comfortable with. Poor Cahill obviously isn't, you know.
Why are you uncomfortable talking about babies?
Not
it's
his
babies.
Wheel of expertise.
Yeah.
They're small humans.
I actually opened up to Dave on that one a bit. But you aren't there, so.
Oh, I'll never know.
You'll have to listen back. It's available for
I'm just saying. We're committing to this.
Right.
Just, I wonder.
It's throwing shade, I think.
I know.
Just saying. I suppose you can't not be here.
Yeah, surely. No, I could. Because I've done all the hard work on the show. Like, I'm the talent.
Yeah.
So really, this should be your job, you guys. I shouldn't even be here.
I would love a podcast where it's just us shitting on you, basically.
I would sign up. There's something I would subscribe to. That.
I did suggest that as a Christmas show that we would host a Christmas show that would just be us taking abusing. The piss out of you for
that would be very good.
Hours.
I would definitely
Dave's
sign up
best
for that.
Bits.
Yeah.
Dave's worst personality traits. As
explored. No, I just go for like moments and you made a mistake. That one time you had a really bad throat bubble.
Yes, there's plenty of those mistake moments. The burp, of course. Yes.
I can listen to the burp all the time.
Speaking of being humiliated publicly, Colin Minogue did something. He might be comfortable talking about babies, but surely his key area of expertise isn't alternative music. It isn't great fashion sense. It isn't turning into a mini Hector Eco-Hogan. It is hurling. And Colin has an opportunity to be a co-commentator on Clubber. This amazing opportunity, and particularly given how well Cashel are doing, Cashel and Cormac's, he's following these through the Munster Championships.
Yeah.
This is incredible. Did it go well from over the weekend? You have a listen. Becky Hill, Sagala, Heaven on My Mind on Today FM.
Dave Moore on Today FM.
What was going through the mind of hurling co-commentator Cathal Minogue yesterday as he went to Tralee in County Kerry? To commentate on Cashel against Abby Dorney, am I right, Carl?
Yeah.
Abby Dorney in the, let me get this right now, the Munster semi-final?
Yeah.
Jesus, what a big game. What a big game. Anyway, Carl, delighted to be doing co-commentary with Clubber so that thousands of people around the country can hear his insightful knowledge of the game. Well, yesterday I got about 15 Instagram DMs, about 6 tags from different people, pointing out that Cahill and his commentator, who were you commentating with?
Stephen Gleeson.
So Cahill and Stephen Gleeson, two experienced men at the helm of communication to let everybody know what's going on in the game between Cashel and Abby Dorney. And was this the first half or the second half?
This was the first thing that happened
first
in the game.
First thing happened in the game. First thing happens in the game is, if you don't know hurling, the ball gets thrown into 4 midfielders. There's a shoulder. There's a button each other around the place. Someone will break free with the ball and we march on towards the opposition's goal. Well, that's what Carl thought was happening. Have a listen to this.
Oh. Welcome to Abby Dorney. Welcome to Abby Dorney. There we go. Ball's in and it's a short jump straight away. The first shot of the game all the way. Sends it in, sends it high. And sends it over the bar. What a start, Colin Minogue.
Great start for Cashel. The midfielder for Abby Dorney. Just let know you're down in Ireland now. But great response now, Cashel. Great start from.
So it is the first score of the game. This ball is sent inside now, gathered in there. And it is knocked in this time. And that's a good response now.
That's another good score. Yeah, right. There's a bit of confusion here now because
points gone the wrong way.
Cashel actually scored and no one points there to start off that. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Okay. So if you didn't quite follow that, what happened was the Cashel midfielder shouldered some fillet with the way, got the ball, ran down towards a goal and hoofed the Schlitter over the bar.
Great score, to be fair.
Great score. However, it was an own point, and neither Carl nor Stephen copped on, in fairness, neither did the midfielder, that he was playing the wrong way. And yeah, what I love is if you watch the video, which is definitely on my social media somewhere, the goalkeeper standing there with his hands up going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you scoring against me?
And I didn't cop that
Carl
either.
Carl didn't cop any of it.
So there's a lot going on at the start of a game. Okay, there's lots going
surely
on.
Surely the direction of play is already the most basic thing.
I was a small bit distracted, right? But this is the thing is, right? I got such a fright because then when Cashel did score, I was thinking to myself, "Wait, am I after saying good start by Cashel and Abby Dorney just scored?" I was so confused.
I'd say so.
I just the whole my brain was just like, "Oh my god, what am I after saying there? Is that not is, was that an Abby Dorney scored the first one or what's after happening here?" I put my hands up. Yeah, I look like an idiot because I was so embarrassing. How did I not cop that he's going the wrong way? But this all happened so fast. The nerves are high. It's Cashel. It's a huge game all the way
but
down
listen,
in Kerry.
You've got to remember your role as co-commentator, right? The commentator's the fella who can get distracted, who can get wrapped up in the action, who can get... That's Stephen's job. Your job is to go, Stephen, now just to let you know.
I know.
What's happened there now is the young fella's got confused. And he's put the ball the slither over his own bar. That's what you should. No, no, none of that. You were caught up in the frenzy, Minogue.
I was caught up in the frenzy, and you know, I've always had. I was always maybe worried and slightly. I wonder will ever a clip of Clubber go viral that I'm involved in? Because often clips of viral stuff, of Clubber stuff, go viral. I did not want this to be it. I don't know if I'm going to be asking you. We, by the way, just so everyone knows, Cashel won the match.
They
we're
did.
In a Munster final.
Munster
Thank
final.
God we didn't get bet by a point.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if
by
that was...
the own point.
Yeah.
Rugby legend Alan Quinlan took a walk upstairs today. First thing he says to Cahill is, you didn't know that on point there, did you? Like, he yeah. knew, like, everyone knows.
And Alan Quinlan, who's one of the greatest co-coms that this country has produced. And he's the first thing he said to me, he goes, what was the crack on Sunday? I was like, oh, no.
But look, I feel it's only fair if I'm going to publicly humiliate Cahill, although it's been done, but if I'm going to bring focus to it, I should also publicly humiliate myself.
Yeah, that's only fair.
It is only fair. That's how we do things on this show. That's bad, Cahill, right? It's not as bad as what happened to me. On the morning that my firstborn came into this world, right? So I was on the radio, got a phone call from my good lady wife that she had gone into labour. So I left the show. I was on breakfast radio at the time. It was about 9:10. So, you know, I'd like gone up in the morning at 4:00 and done 3 and a bit hours of radio. Then got in the car, drove home, picked her up, dropped her off at the rotunda at the kind of... you know, the A&E, like, pull in here, your drop-off area.
Yeah.
Ran in with her and went, oh, yeah, Tracy's here. What? And the staff were unbelievable. They were all like, Dave, don't worry. They knew who I was from the radio. They were like, we'll sort her out. She'll go in here now to the A&E admittance. You go and park the car, Dave. We were listening in this morning. We heard you saying her water. We were prepared for you, whatever. I was like, oh, thanks, guys. Went and parked the car, met someone on the way over who spotted me. They were like, oh, I heard you on the radio. Best look at the new bride. I was like, thanks a million. Went into the hospital again. The girl's all falling. And I go, oh, no, come here, you're gas. Love the show. Get in there now and look after her. So I walk in anyway, and there's a male nurse, and he is admitting Tracy, who at this point is in so much pain because of labour.
Yeah.
She's on all fours on the bed, right? It was the only position she could be in that she wasn't in agonising pain. And your man turns around to me, and he goes... Hi, yeah, and I was like, hey, how's it going? Having said hello to everyone that I've met, like, it's all like, oh, well, fans or whatever. Okay. And he goes, could I get your autograph? And I went, okay.
Oh, gosh.
Feel weird, but okay, yeah, sure. And he went, and I just kind of looked at him and he went, can I get your autograph? And I was like, yeah. And then I realized what he meant was, will you sign the admittance forms?
Oh, my God.
Instead of saying signature, he was joking and saying autograph. He had no idea that I was Dave off the radio. Like, and wasn't interested because, you know, my wife's on all fours about to have a baby. So then, rather than let that unbelievably embarrassing moment go, I tried to explain to him why I thought he might want my autograph.
Oh, God, you made it worse.
And I said, oh, sorry, I thought you actually wanted my autograph because, and this is the quote that's followed me around now for 15 years, because I'm slightly famous. My friends have printed t-shirts with I'm slightly famous written on it. You know the movie Almost Famous? They photoshopped my head in that and put slightly famous on it. And then my wife, through the pain of labor, looked up at me and said, are you effing serious? And then went back to being in a massive amount of pain. So, Carl, I feel like you can't be alone.
This better not follow me around for 15 years.
No, that's fair. I think it might.
Oh, God.
Have you publicly humiliated yourself? Please share it and then make Carl and myself feel better about ourselves. 087 4100 102. Get those voice notes in. Or do you know someone Would you like to point the finger like I've pointed the finger at co-commentator Cathal Minogue this morning? First of all, Margaret says, Dave, the match was played in Abbey and not Tralee. Sorry, it was, of course, in Abbey outside of Tralee. Apparently, Cathal was spotted there wearing shorts. Best out to Cashel in the Munster final from an Abbey Dorney supporter, says Margaret. And Margaret, thank you very much. And good to know Cathal's rocking the shorts, even in that situation. A lot of people are reacting to my story about my I'm slightly famous. Philly's loving it.
Come on, Dave. That's a pure Ron Burgundy moment there.
It was very, very Ron Burgundy, if I'm honest with you. And Siobhan managed to do something to herself at the credit union.
So back when I first started my job in the credit union, I was only about 20 or so. And I was sitting at the counter and I was imagining, gosh, I wonder will I be here next year? And then somebody appeared at the top of the queue and I shouted at the top of my voice, next year! And my mind came down to the desk and said, did you just say next year? And I was like, yes I did. Yeah. Wonderful.
Wonderful, Siobhan is right. Okay, can you beat that? 087-4100-102. Public humiliation stories, go. Sharing the I'm slightly famous story about the birth of my firstborn, it, like, still gives me PTSD to this day. Trying to shake it off. It all came from Cathal, who did co-commentary on Cashel's game over the weekend against Abbey Dorney, down in Abbey Dorney. Cashel won. The first score was an own point. And Cathal, as co-commentator, didn't even realise. Well, it's opened the floodgates for public humiliation stories. You guys are amazing. Here's Linda's one.
I'm a fitness instructor, and years ago, when I'd just done my training, only starting out, teaching my first class, so you do the warm-up first, an aerobics class. And obviously, you get warmed up. As I got warmed up, I thought, off comes the sweatshirt, because I'm going to die here otherwise.
Yes.
Did the whole fancy, crossed the arms, pulled the sweatshirt up off the top, over my head, flung it into the corner of the room, and there went my t-shirt with it, and I'm now standing there in my bra. Had to run over to the corner and disengage, and of course the sleeves were all wrapped up. It took me forever to find my t-shirt and put it back on where it pointed, put it back on, but it was back to front and inside out, and yeah, so that was... That was great crack for my first. I'm a fitness professional here. Let me take it to your page.
Oh yeah, we take you very seriously. In fairness, Linda. Well, Jessica.
I was waiting for a maternity appointment in the hospital. Sitting there waiting, really bored, and there's loads of people around me. And I got a little itch on my ankle, so I kind of scooped. I was really, really heavily pregnant, and I scooped down, and all you could hear was this massive rip. Everyone was kind of looking, I just pretended I didn't hear it. There was a huge rip all on the inside of my thigh, all the way from the top to the butt to the knee area.
No.
But not the knee, but closely down. And I sat there getting redder, hoping they wouldn't call me so I could think of how to hide it, because it was summertime and I didn't have any extra clothing with me. So yeah, that was really embarrassing. But like... could happen to anyone
there. Oh, could happen to anyone, especially if you're heavily pregnant. There are quite a lot of pregnancy stories coming in. Someone says, I have to do this anonymous, Dave. I'm sorry, that's okay. When our firstborn was born, we didn't know what we were having, and the nurses held the baby up to my husband and said, well, Daddy, what have we got? And he went, oh, it's a boy, all excited. And 2 seconds later, the nurse goes, no, it's actually a girl. To be fair, he'd taken his glasses off. We've never let him live it down. And rightly so, you should never let him live that down. Lisa's been on.
What about the Instagram post of the priest saying a prayer over the new bride? And he has his hand up on her, kind of just, you know, he's saying his prayers, yeah, and doing his thing. And she turns around and high-fives him. And she thinks he has his hand up to high-five her.
Yes, I remember that. Oh my God, it was so embarrassing. Although, nothing so far is close to as embarrassing as Robbie's story. Listen to this.
Okay, Dave, I can't believe I'm going to share this one with you, but here goes. So when my son was very small, he used to hate having his hair cut, and used to take him to the hairdresser, and I used to have to sit on the chair and have him on my lap, and the hairdresser would cut his hair, and he used to scream. He hated it. So this one time when it was happening, I decided that I would just give him a reassuring kiss just on the head while it was happening, and little did I realise, but the hairdresser's hand was actually on his head in the same place where I went to kiss, and I slipped her finger inside my mouth. Yes, I know. Total humiliation.
I kept thinking Robbie was just going to say he kissed the back of her hand, but it got worse and worse. Oh my god. The finger in his mouth. I will never get tired of Robbie's voice note. That, in fact, when I am either retiring from radio or I'm dead, and you have to, you know, pick moments that stand out as like Dave's wonderful career. Don't mind talking to celebrities. Don't mind inventing games that people love or releasing books or having double platinum comedy out. No, I want you to play Robbie sucking the finger of a hairdresser. That is the pinnacle of my career.
I found it therapeutic, the whole thing, listening to other people's embarrassing stories. Because, you know, when you do something embarrassing and you feel like you are the center of the universe.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't even think that Usheen, the guy who put the ball over the bar, he's embarrassed. I it's so embarrassing on me. Only me.
Well, you're the main protagonist in your story, so of course. Yeah.
And then you hear of all these embarrassing things, like what Robbie had done. Then you're like, do you know, people actually, you just get over it.
You just move on.
Like, yeah. The chances are the hairdresser probably doesn't even remember that. Well,
no.
As I started that sentence, like, I don't think I'd forget that one.
That time that dad sucked my finger. No, I think the hairdresser remembered that.
It's the one story from the show that I have repeated to so many people this week. Like, I told my mother on the phone. She'd already heard it, but we discussed it further. Told my other half. Yeah. I've been telling people around shops.
It's just so beautifully embarrassing. It's like there's so much wrong with it. And well, in fairness to Robbie, being a great storyteller, as he painted the picture of his son sitting on his lap in the hairdresser's and not being happy about it and the hairdresser's hand being there, as he painted it, you assumed he was going to kiss the back of the hand of it, which in fairness would be embarrassing. But it was that delivery of, I slid her finger into my mouth.
How does that happen?
It reminds me of, do you remember that episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch when she farts in class?
No.
And she gets so embarrassed that her whole face, because she's a witch, so magic makes her whole face go like really, really puce. And then the whole episode is her like realizing that embarrassing things happen to other people, and it kind of, as the episode goes on, it gets
lower.
Slightly less.
That's what happened to Cathal. Cathal began the link with a full puce Sabrina face, but by the end of the show, he was fine. I'm going to very quickly remind myself and you guys of a story that I've definitely told on the radio before, but maybe many years ago. When you're in college, the library is a quiet place, and you go and you study and you do whatever, and obviously you also chat with your friends, but you definitely do it like this. It's very quiet. And there's the hum of air conditioning, you know, in the background. And people leafing through pages and maybe the scrape of a chair as they get up. And one day in Trinity College, in the Leckie Library it was called, a girl walked down the stairs and she slipped. Now, you know, slipping on stairs, it's like the fear, the adrenaline that runs through your body, the cortisol is searing through your veins. So this was happening to her and she clunk, 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 like so loud. Now, if it was really busy, it was a shopping centre, you'd be so mortified, but you just get up and go.
Yeah.
And 75% of people wouldn't even have noticed. Every single person in the Leckie Library turned around to see her by the time she hit the ground. At which point, she farted.
Oh, no.
And I swear to God, I had to like, I was on the ground in the library. Like, I've never laughed so much as I can remember.
Oh, I think I'd have to be removed from life.
I always remember, like, I was thinking, like, for years later, I was like, who was she? What was she? Did she ever come back?
I
think she probably
left college.
It was incredible.
That's a double. That's a double.
Yeah, I mean, it was so bad. And then to finish off as she hit the ground with the... like, incredible. Almost as incredible as becoming a music master, which is what one of our unbelievable contestants did during the week. Music Master on Today FM. Okay, here we are, Music Master. A chance for somebody to prove themselves worthy of the title of Music Master. And first up, we're going to Limerick to see Deborah O'Leary. Hello, Deborah.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How's the weekend?
Good, good. All over now. It goes by too quick, you know yourself.
Yeah, it does. Did you stay up late and watch Katie Taylor being a legend?
No, I was probably on my second turn by that stage. I wouldn't be able to stay up past 9 o'clock.
Listen, to be honest with you, Deborah, I was the same. I did watch it back the following morning, but God, no, I was sound asleep. But listen, fair play for what a hero. Deborah, you're going to be a hero today. You're going to win Music Master. Are you feeling it in your bones?
I feel it in my fingers. I don't know if I feel it in my bones, but
we'll
give it a go.
There you go. You're already making song references. You must be ready. Okay, let's give it a bash.
Okay.
Round one.
Okay, in round one, you got to choose your category. You got three to choose from. It can be so juvenile, graphics, or wonderful.
We'll go wonderful, Dave.
Wonderful. I'm just pronouncing that in a very specific way because these are songs about magic, magic spells, magic wands. All it all mentioned magic.
Okay.
60 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. What's missing from the start of this? I put a spell on you, artist. Blank Jay Hawkins.
No idea.
Screaming. It's a Kind of Magic was a hit for which massive band?
Queen.
Yes. As the song from The Police goes, every little what?
Every little thing.
Go on. Yeah, there you go. True or false, the song Magic by Pilot has been used in an ad for Ozempic.
True.
It is true. Tom York sings Burn the Witch in which band?
Radiohead.
Yes. Love, Sex, Magic saw Sierra team up with who?
No idea.
Justin Timberlake. What common magical term is also a song by Steve Miller Band?
Still pass.
Abracadabra. Olivia Newton-John has a song called Magic, but name her massive hit movie.
Grease.
It is. We're a block party hunting for witches or warlocks.
Witches.
That's right, it was witches. According to the 1996 song from Blind Melon, what's the magic number? Ah, the drums are in. It was three.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for you. An excellent round out of you there, Deborah.
Good stuff.
We're going to see if we can make it even better now in the bonus round.
Bonus round.
Bonus round is low and slow. Okay, so these are songs that you know. They all have something to do with magic, but they're playing them low and they're playing them slow.
Okay.
And see if you can identify them. I need artist and title for each one for a point, okay?
Okay.
Here's your first one. What's that one?
Bruno Mars, yeah. 24 carats.
24 carat what?
Gold.
No.
Magic.
Well, I didn't say the... I'm going to put a tick on that one. I didn't say the answer before you said the answer. 24 karat magic is the right answer.
Okay.
You got there, you got there, you got there. Fair play to you. Okay, try this one. What's that?
Dua Lipa Houdini.
It is Dua Lipa Houdini. That's 2 out of 2. Get 3 out of 3. I'm going to triple that score of yours. What is this?
Got Little Mix anyway. And Black Magic, I don't know.
Black Magic, I don't know. Well, Black Magic is the right answer, you absolute legend. Well done, you've just tripled your score from 6 to 18.
Happy day.
Wonderful, wonderful performance out of you, Deborah. That's a great score now.
Music Master on Today FM.
Now, Deborah O'Leary, you all right?
I am, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Yeah, good weekend. Now, here we are in the middle of Music Master, about to hopefully crown you a Music Master. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Absolutely fantastic. Great way to start the week.
Wouldn't it? Just, well, listen, your triple bonus round has already made me smile, so let's see if we can go one step further. Shall we give it a go?
Give it a go. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Final round.
Okay, Deborah, in this final round of Music Master, I'll give you 3 clues to the identity of an artist. You'll get the year they were born, the place they're from, and a lyric from one of their songs. And then you'll have 10 seconds to tell me who it is, okay?
Okay, absolutely.
Right. The year is 1972. The place is Manchester. And the lyric is, anyone can see right through your eyes.
72,
anyone can see
right through your eyes.
Liam
Gallagher, no idea.
Liam Gallagher, no idea, she says. Liam Gallagher, absolutely right, says you. Yes! You are a music master! You did not believe that was going to happen, Deborah, did you? Well, because when you were going through the little bits of the clues I gave you, you said 1972, you worked out about 50, 52, whatever. Then you were like, Singers. I was like, in my head going, Manchester, Manchester, just say Manchester Singers. Come on, come on. Oh, you threw it in with 1 second to go. Liam Gallagher is the absolute right answer. Wall of Glass was that song, that lyrics from. Listen, you are a music master. You get everything. You get your hands on €250 in cash, a certificate for your wall that says you're a music master, and I'll throw in those Dave Moore Bluetooth headphones.
Brilliant, Dave.
Deborah, so what a start to the week for you.
Thank you. That is just brilliant. I'm delighted now. I really am.
Well, I'm glad you are, because you should be. You're in a very elite company now. There's very few people who've done that, tripled their bonus round and become a music master. You're an absolute legend. Well done, Deborah. There you go. It's that easy. If you think you can give it a go, if you think you've got what it takes, we do it every single day on the radio, 9 to 12 on Today FM, Monday to Friday, just before 10 o'clock. Put out the call, 087-4100-102. Just text in and tell me you want to be a music master, and you can do it as well. We get to talk to lots of celebrities. They're very cool. They're very sound. They're very amazing. One who's very tall, who's very smart, is also very, very funny. It is the brilliant Dara O'Brien. Talk to me, though, about the playlist you found, because I do follow you on social media. And you found a playlist of every single Now album.
Yes.
Oh my good God.
It's the most insane thing. It's like the most insane piece of cultural archaeology. it is, because it is, it's every, now that's what I call music album, compiled in one playlist. Yep. I don't know who did this. And it goes from Now One, which is 1982 or 83.
One of the first records I ever got on vinyl.
Now
was
Four
Now
is
One.
Where I joined the game.
See, I'm older than you. Yeah.
But the, and then all the way through, until the stuff I was buying my daughter when she was like a tween, like whatever, up until about Now 112, which is like about 2 years ago.
Wow.
So it's amazing, because you jump in at any point and it's like, oh my God, I have not heard Don't Leave Me This Way in a long time, or I've not heard, like, You Can't Hurry Love. You Can't Hurry Love by Phil Collins is the first song. Which is a quantifiable banger. And
Yes, absolutely.
And then it goes on and on. And, but what's mainly interesting is, people come and go, you know, and so, because if it actually becomes slightly like a study in mortality, because you see things, people appear, and music is a rough industry.
It is.
And you get a brief go and then you're out of there, and you can see people arriving in, and you're going, oh my God, here comes blank, and you're going, oh no, they're gone. They're never going to appear in the timeline again.
No, it's true. Five Stars bring to mind, for example.
Perfect example.
Couple of albums they were on, you know, two big songs, and then, as you said, you're not going to hear about Five Star again.
Oh look, I mean, I'm not going to say the Irish bands who appear,
but
there's a number of them who pop up like whatever, and you go, oh my God, that was a thing, and then gone, and brutal. And then the broad sweeps of the first few dance tracks out of Detroit, like whatever. Jack Your Body, things like that, looks appearing in the 80s. You go, oh, hello, this is going to get big. And then by like a while, as you scroll down, there's entire sections which are just those Cotton Eye Joe remixes for a while, like whatever. And then it gets all
five,
a bit more.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Yeah, all that stuff appears for a while. And then that goes. And then every so often, there'd be a totally random thing, like Creep by Radiohead.
Yes,
what are you doing?
Where did the knowledge come from? Well, so, I highly recommend you follow Dara on his social media, but for things like this, go and find that playlist. It is life changing.
It's astonishing. And you'll honestly keep it good. There are 228 hours of music on it.
Jesus. It is unbelievable.
And obviously, you're gonna duck out.
That's
because at some point you're gonna hit the bit where you had kids and you stopped this, and you've no idea what any of this is.
What is this?
See ya? What is all this? Like, when I was going. So basically, from 2007 till I needed to know it again because of my daughter, there's a whole window.
That's the joy of it. If it's 200 and something hours long, you can just dive into wherever you do want to be.
Yeah,
you can leave that bit. Yeah. Now that's what I call music. The entire back catalogue on one Spotify playlist. Ridiculous.
Isn't it incredible how great of a communicator Dara O'Brien is, yet he talks so fast.
Yeah.
And the way he actually uses words, it's not like I've heard anyone else talk like.
Yeah.
You know? And the fact that you're so enthralled with what he's saying.
But the fact he's also made it in the UK, where notoriously, in order to make it there, you need to not speak as fast as Irish people do to other Irish people. Like, if you think about Terry Wogan, think about Graham Norton.
Yeah. Angela Scanlon.
Angela Scanlon. Like, they all have their Irish accents. They haven't changed them. But they speak, you know, Graham is always like, now, isn't it true that you did this? And then, you know, like that way.
That's
and
good.
Then you can think of that way. And it's not really an impression.
That
it's
was just,
good.
It's like interpolation, maybe. But Dara is always like, oh my God, he's talking about really complex things, really fast, and space, and maths, and comedy, and whatever, making you laugh, and also informing you about brilliant things. And you're like, how is the UK like someone in, you know, Leeds going, what's he saying? I don't understand the word of that.
Is it because he's passionate about whatever he's saying?
Maybe, yeah. And like, even when he does his like live shows and they're filmed, sometimes they have something that might be filmed in London or whatever. Yeah. The crowd are mad about it. I mean, can't all be expats?
No. I think he's just developed a way that the UK audience now is familiar enough that this Irish guy speaks quickly. Yeah. We need to just...
Because even he's talking about now there, the albums, and he says it's an insane piece of cultural archaeology. And even to say that, and then just the way he says it as well, it's like just rolls off the tongue and it's so fast. It's
you're a little bit fanboy in there.
I kind of, I was a bit enthralled by him or something.
Yeah, he's very...
And he's been in before with G-Like or whatever. But I don't know, this time I was like, I kind of want to be like him now.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
God, I was going to shave his head.
A lot of work to do to get as tall as Dara O'Brien.
I was a lot closer to the Hector thing, wasn't
definitely,
I?
Definitely.
I'll tell you a really funny story, actually. So years ago, my granny's best friend was born in Ireland, moved to the UK when she was quite young, met an Irish guy, they got married, they had several children. And then we had a really close relationship with their family. So like her son and my mom would be really close friends. And they came over, her son got married to an English girl and they all came over and we did that thing of meet them at the airport, bring them back to the house,
cook
a fry, everyone's sitting around. And everyone's just chatting away, la 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 la. And poor Pam, who's my mum's best friend's wife,
so the English lady.
The English lady's sitting there and she's just like, oh my God, David, I didn't know you spoke Irish. And he was like,
wow.
What? And she was like, you've all been sitting here the entire time. Like, this is maybe an hour in. All speaking Irish. I think it's amazing.
Oh my God.
We have been talking in English. No one speaks Irish at this table. But everyone was speaking so quickly and doing that thing where you're like, she just assumed.
That's unreal. Yeah, we do. We have very much of our own dialect. Anyway, listen, whatever dialect you speak of English, I hope you enjoy this podcast and I hope you enjoy the radio show Monday to Friday, 9 to 12 on Today
FM. Let's shave Cahill's head.
And get him a degree in maths. And get him a degree.
Yeah, and a TV show in the UK.
And stretch him out.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Dave Moore on Today FM.